This morning we're going to talk about peace. How many of you have tried to conjure up peace when you're going into a situation? You think, I've got to think peace, so I can be peaceful going into a situation. Has everyone been like that? Cool. We're not alone. I have done that before. I'm like, man, this is something's going to happen. I really need to be peaceful. And you almost try to conjure up something within you and calmness. It was similar to me this morning thinking I'm going to be speaking on peace. And I come in here and, oh man, I don't know. It was like I had 10 coffees or something. I was just like, whoa! Jap's like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. So you're trying to think peace. I've got to be calm in my spirit. And then suddenly, yeah, all those kind of things. I sent out this email during the week, and it was from Psalm 37. 37 was the scripture. And it said, consider the blameless, observe the upright. A future awaits those who seek peace. And I thought it was really cool because in some translations it says a prosperity follows those who seek peace. And it's this whole thing of not just trying to conjure up peace, but a seeking of peace. Because as we most all know, that when we conjure, we can't conjure up peace. We need to seek the one who gives peace and also who is peace. And that's kind of what I want to speak on today. We need to seek the only one who gives peace and also who is peace. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We need peace in all sorts of situations, right? Especially in conflict situations. Who would agree? You're going into a conflicting situation. If you're already heightened, we're in trouble, right? We're already on that edge. When you're approaching someone who is in disagreement with you, we need to have peace, right? The biggest thing we can have if we're going in with someone with disagreement, like you come from two different point of views and you're wanting to resolve it or understand the other person, to come in with peace really, really helps. What about a family member? If you have a family member and you want to talk over some issues that we've had that before where your kids come along and say, you as parents, when I was younger, has anyone had that before? You did this? Those that have got young kids, just remember that, okay? Unfortunately, all of parents aren't perfect. Sometimes when you come to that approach and you know that your child's going to come and have a talk to you about your faults or something you did wrong or whatever, you want to have that peace that comes with it. Or even if there's a clash of personalities, when you see someone, you want to have peace within it. Like not all of us are the same, as we are very aware of. On peace, A.W. Tozer writes this, a humble man will obtain a place of soul rest. As he walks on in humility, he will be happy to let God defend him. The old struggle to defend himself is over. He has found the peace which humility brings. I thought that was quite a good little saying, because when we are approaching a place that we need peace to be in there, when we understand that God, we come bearing God within that situation, therefore we know that he's going to defend us. He's going to be there with us. He's going to walk with us through that situation. But first of all, it takes humility to say, have I done something wrong? You know, I think A.W. kind of sums it up quite well. Peace can help us in confrontational situations, but it can also comfort us in hard situations. And that's probably what I want to talk about today. So with peace, there's lots of different things that we obviously need peace in, but I just want to concentrate a little bit of this. And this is only kind of a snippet of what I want to talk about, because many here, I believe, have displayed this peace through different situations. When things have been thrown to them, when they're in the middle of a storm, they have displayed peace, and that is to be admired. I think when you do display peace in a situation, it brings calmness to other people around you who are going through those situations as well. And I think that's really cool. All right. What I want to do today is I want to look through a chapter in John 14, that Jesus comes and he comforts the disciples. Because I think there's points in there that we can take out of the scripture of how Jesus comforts. Because if we know that we need peace brings a comfort to a situation, I think our best example is Jesus. Would you agree? Cool. All right, so we're going to look at John 14. If you've got your Bibles, we're going to kind of just chuck out. I'm going to go through a few different verses. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I would encourage you to do that in your own time, to read to get an overall concept of what Jesus is trying to say. But I'm just going to pick out a few verses as we keep going. It starts off with this. It starts off in verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Do not let your hearts be troubled. This word believe, obviously, believe in God or believes in me is the same word as trust in God, those who will trust in me. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Interesting statement, eh? Do not let your hearts be troubled. And Jesus starts his teaching about comfort by saying, do not let your hearts be troubled. And I think this is something that Jesus is trying to say through this whole thing, because he repeats it again later on, that this is the catalyst to start his teaching on comfort or on peace within a situation. Is do not let your hearts be troubled. You see, when we come into a situation, Shell's briefly mentioned it this morning, that, say for instance, in the middle of a storm, right? We're in the middle of a storm, the disciples were in the middle of a storm, and their hearts were troubled, right? They were concerned. Who wouldn't be? You know, you got these massive big waves that are coming along and about to take. You're fearing for your life. Yeah, they're coming along, and first thing, what does Jesus say? Peace be with you. He brings peace into a situation, but he's saying, don't let your hearts be troubled. And our natural instinct, within we've got things that are going on around us, is to be troubled. It is. It's our first instinct of what we're doing. Jesus is saying, his first instinct when he comes into a situation is peace. First thing he says is, peace be with you. So what he's trying to teach us, I believe, through this, is that we come on one hand, he comes on another, and it's like, hang on a sec, you know, do not let your hearts be troubled. When he comes into peace, he brings a peace into a situation. Shell's touched on it with this whole thing of fear, and I don't think fear is a bad thing, like what Shell's was saying, and just hear me out in this, because we say that love casts out all fear. When we dwell on fear, that's different. Fear, okay, you go into an army situation, right? You're on edge, you're fearful of an opposition, therefore you are equipped to go into that army, right? If you're going to go into a fight, you don't kind of wear jandals and stubbies and a singlet. But hey, let's go. You're kind of fearful that there are actually probably going to be some guns. You might need some armor. You know what I'm saying? So fearful brings a preparation. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Yep. So in some instances, like Charles says, there's fear in an instant isn't bad if it makes you turn to an answer, meaning in God. Right? It gets our eyes focused directly on who God is rather than the situation. And that's what Jesus is saying. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not, yes, you're going to have these things come around you, but do not stay in that place. You know, your eyes, your focus needs to be on something else. It's when we allow the fear to dominate our hearts that then we start getting fearful. Right? So what is Jesus saying? He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Then he comes on in verse 2. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If there were not, I wouldn't say so. I am going there to prepare a place for you. Isn't that awesome? He gives us hope. Right? So he's giving us hope of a place to go to. So let me read this again. I'm going away to prepare a place for you. In the disciple situation, they freaked out. Because you're leaving us? What are you doing? What do we do when you leave? Right? So we read it here and say, oh, it's amazing. Because if you're in two different places, you can think, oh, cool, God, you're preparing a place for us. That's awesome. Yay, that's my hope. That's where I'm going. And in another thing, the same wording can be like, you're leaving us. You're running away. What are we doing? What are we going to do now? He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. And I think this is what he's trying to say, that when he gives us a promise, we hang on to the promise. So that, therefore, when we're in a situation, that becomes our focus. That brings peace into a situation, rather than all the other stuff that goes around of the fear that comes along. In the end, in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He gives us a foundation for if we want peace in our lives, Jesus is the only way we're going to have peace. Our focus has to be on Jesus in order to have peace. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. I abide in the Father, and the Father abides in me. This is what he is saying to us. It carries on in verse 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. Interesting how he's saying that within trying to have peace. I won't go into that too much because Matt's going to kind of talk on that side of it when he's speaking. But if you love me, you will obey my commands. And I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. That's a promise. What Jesus is trying to say is, do not be troubled. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Here's a promise of eternity for you. This is the peace that you can have, and I'm going to send you a helper. I don't know about you, but I think most of that's all pretty good news for me. And that's what Jesus is trying to say, that when you abide in him, when you're connected with him, when your eyes are on him, there is peace, and there should be peace through these situations. I am going to send you an advocate. I am going to send you a helper. And in verse 17, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, and he lives in you and will be in you. There's another promise. If we want peace within our lives, we have to be in Christ and him in us and living in us. The same thing that it carries on in verse 20. On that day, he was revealed, he realized that I am in the Father and you are in me and I am in you. It's this constantness of abiding. We touched on it again when we were talking about joy, that our main source of abiding has to be in Jesus. So the same thing in here, he's saying that needs to be the core of who you are, is him and his Spirit that lives within you, that then will bring you the gifts of the Spirit. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit to verse 26. It says, but a counselor, or the Holy Spirit, the advocator, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I have said. I like this scripture because it says that he will teach you and he will remind you. He will teach you in regards to within scripture. He will remind you of what scripture has said. He will remind you of things that he has protected you in the past. You know, how many times does that bring a calming influence when you're going into a situation? God was so good then, he'll be so good now. Yeah? He was faithful then, he'll be faithful now. When we can stand on those promises, then that brings a peace into a situation. And that's what the advocate does, the Holy Spirit, the counselor comes and he brings to us. He says, I'm going to remind you of these things. I'm going to teach you these things. I'm going to, so that you can keep your eyes focused on Jesus rather than the situations that are around you. Then he goes on in verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives, but do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. I wanted to just, this is probably something that I, when we're reading this scripture, peace I leave you, my peace I give you, it kind of can roll off, but I wanted to spend just a moment talking about what that means. Peace I leave you. The peace I leave you in the Greek is a primary word that is a separation of apart from the whole. So where the whole, some part is taken from. So what it's trying to say is the peace I leave you, meaning the peace that I have, I'm taking from me and giving to you. Do you know what I mean? Some of the piece of the whole is being given to the part. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. So the peace that I leave you. So in other words, it's only the Holy Spirit that we're left with peace. So we can't go into anything conjuring up peace if we don't have the heart of Jesus, the Holy Spirit within us, because that is the wholeness that comes. That's what Jesus is promising. I will leave you the peace. That comes in. In other words, part of Christ is left with you. When you ask the Holy Spirit to come into you, a part of Christ has been left. The Holy Spirit has been left in you. And then in the other part it says, peace I give you. Now this is a really interesting part, because the peace I give you, it says the Greek word is to give over to one's care or entrust or commit. Alright? So I have the Holy Spirit that who lives within me. So I have been left with the Holy Spirit. Yeah? But then in order for me to give the Holy Spirit, to display the Holy Spirit, to display the fruits of the Spirit, meaning peace, I need to, Jesus entrusted it to me, so therefore I need to display it. Can I have Holly just come up here just for a minute? This is an example of, you see, it's a $50 note. Anyone else want to play my game? Anyone else want to be my helper? Okay, so I am leaving Holly with $50. Right? That's awesome. It's cool. Okay, she sit down. Exactly. That's what the person said with the talents. If we are entrusted, we are left with the Holy Spirit, the expectation that Jesus wants us to do is to invest it, is to spend it, is to use that $50, right? There's no good with $50 just in her hand. Go sit down and, hey, cool, I got $50. Yeah? The intention of investing into it is to be able to use that to go buy some clothes or go buy some jewelry or give it back to your parents because you love them. Whatever it is. Save it. Do you know what I'm trying to say? So when he says you give the Holy Spirit, he wants to give you peace, it's not for yours to keep, it's to go into a situation and to give peace. It's to use peace. There's no use just having the peace of the Holy Spirit within you without displaying peace. That's what Jesus is trying to say. Thank you very much. You can go sit down. Take my $50 back, eh? All right. Here's another wording for it. It says, when it says, a peace I give you is, a peace that I give you is to cause, produce, or give forth from oneself. To cause or to produce. You see, the Holy Spirit within us is for us to produce the fruit within our lives. It's not a matter of just having the Holy Spirit in us and saying, oh yeah, I'm going to have a peaceful life. It's we are called, we are asked to display peace. In every situation, there has to be an outcome that when people are around you, they should feel peaceful. This morning, people around me didn't feel so peaceful. Because I was, you know, because I'm going to be talking about peace. But there's a place that when we go into a situation, like it says, I mean, even within Scripture, leave peace. When you're going into a different town, leave peace, you know. We're to have the gospel of the feet of peace. So where we go, what we do is to be leaving peace. That's what it's talking about. I do not give as the world gives. I like this because we often can try to get peace within things or items, or, you know, they'll bring peace and calming to a situation. Say, for instance, in a materialistic way, it's like, oh man, if only I had a really nice van, because I mean, my van's not very cool, but if I had a really nice, like a Toyota Hiace again, I'd be real peaceful, because then all my tools could be all nicely set up and go to the job, and I could do some nice sign writing, and that just look really cool, and you know, that'd bring peace to my job. A van ain't going to change that, chappy. You know, we chase something that the world may give, but it doesn't actually satisfy. And what Jesus is saying here, I do not give as the world gives. You see, the definition for world here is a world circle of earthly goods. Endowments, riches, advantages, pleasures, etc. And although hollow and frail and fleeting, they stir desire. They seduce God, and they are obstacles to the cause of Christ. That's what the world gives. And this is what it's saying in here. I do not give as the world gives. I give you a peace that is within you that can help you through all situations. Nothing material, nothing else can come in the way. All that will do is distract you. Whereas I want to bring you peace within a situation. He then goes and concludes in verse 28 to 31, and I'll read it out. It says, you heard me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you this now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of the world is coming. He does not have a hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what the Father has commanded me. During this time, he's obviously predicting his death. He's predicting what is going to be happening, that he's going to be going away, but once again, he's also giving the promises of coming back again. So he's addressing the disciples' disbelief so that when it does happen, they will believe and they'll know that he is the Christ, he is the Messiah. But within the scripture, there's a key verse which I think I try to apply it within my life so it helps me when I'm going into situations that I need peace. And it is this. The key scripture in here, it says, I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of the world is coming. He has no hold over me. He has no hold over me. I think that's a pretty powerful verse. Because then we think of even when he goes into Gethsemane, the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's crying out to God, and he's troubled within his spirit. So much so that drops of blood, as Luke would say, were coming from his brow. He was so distressed. But he says, Satan has no hold over me. So when things were coming into his mind of, you shouldn't be doing this. What are you doing this for? You could call down angels right now and it would be all finished. Not my will, but yours be done. Satan had no hold on him because his focus was on his heavenly Father and what he wanted. And I think when we're going into situations that we need comfort, where we need peace, where we need his peace within it, we have to understand that Satan doesn't have a hold on us. Don't let him get a hold on you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. We go into a situation and how many times? I mean, I'm cultured. My mind's going 10 to 1, half a dozen to the other. That's an old saying. Yeah? It's just going crazy. It's just flipping around. But he's saying, don't let Satan have a hold on you. I want peace in a situation. You've got to be chucking those things out that Satan's trying to get in your head. Don't let Satan have a hold on you. Jesus was predicting his death and going to the cross because Jesus knew that there was a price to be paid. But he knew that it would bring us to salvation, us to a place of washing of sins, of forgiveness, of relationship with his heavenly Father, of eternal life. That's where he had it, is he. When we live by the Spirit within us, we can then trust Jesus and believe him. Therefore, we won't allow Satan to have a hold on us. You see, Satan causes us to take our eyes off Jesus. He tries to bring disbelief into a situation. He tries to bring despair into a situation. He tries to bring judgment, condemnation into a situation. And none of those things bring peace. None of those things bring peace. Look at the Garden of Eden. Prime example. Satan took hold of man, took hold of woman, caused disbelief within. Did God really say that to you? And instantly, there was peace taken away from those two. Because he came into a situation and then they suddenly found themselves naked and their whole world started spinning. The same thing that applies to us. You know, we go into a simple situation, we take our eyes off Jesus, we start spinning and we do not have peace within our spirits. And that's what he is asking us to have. Taking our eyes off Jesus brings us to a place of not. There's a scripture in Romans 8, verse 6. It says, "The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit of life brings peace," or is peace. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and is peace. That's a great scripture. So, if we want to be peaceful in a situation, we have to learn to control this thing. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your mind go to things that Satan's trying to pull you down and put negative stuff into a situation. Because if I'm led by the Spirit, I will walk in peace. That life that he has for me, I will walk in his peace. So is our mind governed by the Spirit? Then we should have peace. Otherwise, we've got to look and say, is it governed by the flesh? And that's a challenge. Because when we go into situations, and I've been in conflict situations, or I've been in situations that I need a calmness, I need just in the middle of a storm, and my mind just goes mental, and then I let my earthly nature come out. You know? Get angst and ready to jump up and fisty-fisties, you know? Because that spirit, I'm like, God, I messed up. I didn't let your spirit come through and overflow of myself. When we need peace, when we need to make a decision in our lives, there's people who have, like, what job should I take? Should I be moving overseas? Do I marry this person? You know, they're like good questions to ask. And in those things, we need to have a peace. We need to have a peace. If we jump into situations and we do not have God's peace, I guarantee you it probably won't be the right choice. And how do I know that? Because from experience. From experience, if I've got turmoil in it, I think, oh, I'll do it anyway. No, we've had a contract once before. I've mentioned many years ago, we're doing a big building contract, and at the time I had like 10 guys working for me, and it was like, man, we need to keep this going and keep guys in work. And an opportunity came up to do a reclad on a house. A building, a big building and stuff. 4 stories high, there was like 20 units or whatever it was. And I felt a little uneasy, but I was okay because I was like, well, it's a big project to take on. And then I had my wonderful wife say, are you sure we should be doing this? So I went into a situation not 100% peaceful. One, because my wife, she's a very wise woman, has the Spirit of God within her as well. And I'm like, I reasoned it away, like, well, actually, we've got to keep all these guys busy. It's a great job. We've got, it's all tied up with architects. We follow their plans. We've got, you know, the council. They're going to come and check the work. And it was all, it seemed all really, really good. And then we got into the project, and as we got there, suddenly some things just didn't start seeming right. And before long, the whole thing turned to custard, and we weren't paid one of our last big payments. It was like $35,000 that they didn't pay, and I'm like, well, I'm not coming back until we finish this job, until you pay your last payment. Meanwhile, there was a whole lot of stuff that was going on, and they, next thing you know, we got a lawsuit put on us to take us to court because we were involved in a leaky house. The problem was we were fixing the leaky house, but we were still pulled into it. That caused so much stress, so much unpeace, you know, as a letter would come and say, okay, you're summoned to court again, and da-da-da, you know, and you're going and spending $20,000 in the end on lawyers' fees, and fortunately, God gave me a little bit of wisdom, and I documented every single thing we did in photo, and I did 500 photos on the job, and blah, blah, so, but it never caused peace. What I'm trying to say is I went into a situation where I didn't even say, God, should we take this job on? I just kind of, in my rational decision, decided that's a major decision to take on a job that size. You know, we're talking million-dollar contracts. You know, it was a big job that we were doing. And I didn't go into it in peace. That's a warning sign. That's a warning sign. In the end, to let you know, God brought justice. And, we had a phone call from the lawyer to say they've decided to drop the whole lawsuit against us, realizing that it wasn't us who did it. But it caused a whole lot of stress. This is over a four-year period. You know, it was just awful. But if I'd, one, listened to my wife, one, I think if I'd prayed about it and asked God to bring peace in the situation, he would have saved me a whole lot of stress. We need God's peace when we're making decisions in our lives. We need God's peace when we're in the middle of a storm. Everything around us is going absolutely crazy. And I think this is something I'm trying to continually learn on within myself, is look to Jesus in the middle of those storms. You know, everything that's going, it's so easy to concentrate on this, but it's like, no, God's given me a hope. He's promised me a helper. He's promised me the Holy Spirit, who will give me wisdom and recall these things to me and help these things. He'll help me get through these things. And I start to focus on Jesus, it brings peace to my storm. And that's what I'd encourage us to do. It's not easy. But I think if we have some tools within our lives that when we're in a situation that suddenly turmoil or conflict, or we just need comfort within a situation, we need peace within what we're going through, sometimes just need to refocus and say, Satan, you have no hold on me. And we refocus and we have our eyes set on Jesus. Why? Because he's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life.